This morning, that brings me to this message that God's laid on my heart. And I know I've preached out of this before, but I've heard this word a lot this week. Last couple, 2 or 3 weeks, I've heard this word fear. This word fear. I've heard it spoken a lot. I've had many people say that they were afraid of certain things or they feared certain things. And so whenever I think of fear, my mind automatically always goes to 2 Chronicles. And we find a guy by the name of Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah here. And Judah and Israel had split. And they'd been, you know, after the death of Solomon, you know, things have kind of, I mean, it was kind of chaotic around there. They were fighting and all this stuff going on. And here we find a king come by the name of Jehoshaphat in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. And I just want to pray first. I got to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. Just let me speak it clearly this morning. Lord, I'm just honoring you this morning with your with what you've called me to speak about. Lord, just clear my thoughts. Open up my heart that I may speak your word clearly. Lord, let your words be said, not mine. Lord, I just take anything away that may hinder your word from being spoken. Clear our minds. Open up our hearts, Lord. Let us receive your word so we can use it for our benefit, Lord. Your word is the truth. Sometimes it hurts, but it is the truth. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we find Jehoshaphat and this king of Judah. And this is after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar." Alarmed, this is in the NIV, but what I like in the King James and the RSV is it says fear. It says feared. It says that he was feared. Okay? I want you to get that this morning. And Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all in Judea, or Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord, and indeed they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, I want to stop right there. Because the word I want to focus on this morning is fear. And I know that there's a lot of things that we can be afraid of. There's a lot of things that come about in our life, in our daily life, that we can be afraid of. And I'm telling you right now that God is not a God of fear. God doesn't want you to fear. God wants you to be courageous. He wants you to be a conqueror. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to be an overcomer, right? He doesn't want you to be afraid of anything. And this is what I'm saying. When Jehoshaphat was afraid, when fear came on him, what was the first thing that he did? And I want to say the first thing that he did this morning, when you fear, sometimes we're afraid of, you know, sometimes we're afraid of what's going to happen in this next election. We can watch the news, and it doesn't take long. You watch the news, and you can be afraid of something. Whether it's this new disease, it's plaguing, you know, the world, or whether it's something that God has asked you to do that you're afraid to do. Whether it's getting up in front of people and speaking, you know, because that was a lot of my problem. I never wanted to get up in front of crowds and speak, ever. Sometimes I have to fight that. I have to fight that I'm not good enough. I have to fight that I'm not smart enough. I have to fight that I'm not worthy to get up and speak. Who am I? I'm just a man. I'm not anything special. But God always reminds me that I'm the one that put you there. I'm the one that's going to lead you through it. I'm the one that's going to give you the wisdom. I'm the one that's going to give you that if you just seek me and follow me. Amen?
Amen.
But that's what the Word says. That's what the Scripture says. You know, sometimes we're afraid to even get up. I've had a person tell me they were afraid to get up and sing in front of people. They got a great voice and they're afraid to get up and sing in front of people. God has blessed us with certain gifts. God says, use that. Yes, you're going to be afraid, but guess what? I'll be with you. Use your gift. That's just Satan. That's just the devil telling you that you can't do something. That only fear doesn't come from God. So what's the first thing that we find that Jehoshaphat did? Because Jehoshaphat was a guy that loved the Lord. He sought the Lord. The first thing that he did was he called for a fast. And sometimes I think we need to shove the plate back. Sometimes I think we need to take the feed bag off. Amen?
Amen.
Jack's laughing at me. Sometimes we need to shove the plate back. And I think that sometimes our prayers are not answered because we're not willing to shove the plate back and say, Lord, I'm willing to give up what's essential to me. I'm willing to give up what I need that makes me healthy to get an answer from you. We have to be desperate. Sometimes missing a meal sometimes can be desperate, can it? I don't think many of us miss a meal.
No.
I have no desire to miss a meal, right? I like to eat. I may not look like it. I'm kind of a thin guy. But I like to eat.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Rarely Teddy gets me off my game, but he did. I have to laugh. And that's okay. That's okay. But let me tell you. I love it. I love it. Oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, what I'm getting at is sometimes we have to sacrifice something. We have to be willing to sacrifice things. We have to be willing to push that plate back. And you know, how many times, and I don't know what you guys do in your life. I don't know, because we're really not supposed to tell anybody. We're not supposed to let everybody know that we're fasting. Okay? But it does, the Word does say we should fast. It doesn't say maybe every now and then. It doesn't say that, you know, you might fast and it might work. It says when you fast. That's what the Word says in the New Testament. When you fast. That means you do fast. But that's the first thing that Jehoshaphat did, is he called for a fast. He called for a fast. He wants us to be desperate. He said, let's get desperate. Let's push back the plate and let's say, listen, we're not going to eat anything until God hears our prayers. We're not going to eat anything until God starts doing something. So we find that he called for a fast. He called for all Judah. They came together. Can you imagine that? All Judah came together. They all came together to seek the Lord. You know what? I wonder what would happen if we had some problems in the church, or if we had somebody sick in the church, if all the church came together, come on, and said, we're not going to eat until the Lord answers our prayer. We're going to fast. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to all come together. And we're going to get down on our knees and we're going to say, Lord, we need you. And we're not going anywhere until something happens. What do you think would happen? I think that's what some of our early founding fathers of the church did. We read about that in the the new church in Acts, the early church, are they any different than we are, other than where they lived? I'm just asking. Do we not serve the same God they did? Do we not serve the same Jesus they did?
Amen.
Can we expect not His power is still the same as it was then? And after that, after he called for a fast, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem. This is in verse 5. And at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said this. And he prays this prayer, this unbelievable prayer. And he says, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friends? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.
Amen.
Amen. You ever pray a prayer like that? You ever pray a prayer like that? Reminding God who He is. God, aren't you the God? Aren't you the God that saved me? Aren't you the God that brought me out of where I was at and put me where I am today? Aren't you that God? Aren't you the God of my ancestors? The Sylvia McCords, the Brother Mitchells, the Brother Lees, the Bonnie Sweets, the Bohan. I mean, I could keep going. Amen? Aren't you the God of those people that believed in you, that shouted amen, that testified to the good things that you did in this church right here? Aren't you that God? I know you are, because I saw them go through things and you brought them through it. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you that God? Says, haven't you built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, whether we're sick, isn't it true that He has put His name within us? We are now His sanctuary. You hear that? He said, haven't you put your name in me? Think about that. His name is written in you. His name is in you. His name. Isn't this the name that's the name of Jesus? Come on. Man, I'm overwhelmed right now. In my own preaching. Because this is the name, when I said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, come into me. Lord, take control of my life. I became that sanctuary. And His name is right here in this sanctuary. This is the God, He says, and no matter what, when this name is in this sanctuary, no matter what comes on you, whether it's calamity, no matter what, no matter what comes upon, whether it's the sword of judgment or the plague or famine, no matter what this world brings on you, whether it's a loss of a job, whether it's mean words, whether it's, you know, whether it's fear, no matter what it is that comes on you, remember that where His name is. The name of Jesus. The name above all names. Come on. Are you a child of God this morning? Is His name in you this morning, the name of Jesus? I mean, is this where He dwells? In this sanctuary that you walk around in, Walmart, I say that a lot because I go to Walmart a lot. Like usually I see Mark there. He's there a lot. And Jesse, I seen Jesse there the other day. They're there a lot. Sometimes it's Kroger. Somebody asked me, why are you going to Kroger? I said, because Leanne told me to. What else? What other reason would I go? But you know, wherever I'm at, no matter what happens to me through my day or through my week, you know, I remember this is the guy, this is the name that was with me whenever I got sick. And this is the name that I remember now that when the doctor said, you know what, you're lucky because you don't have kidney disease anymore. I said, no, I'm blessed. I serve a God that saved me. I serve a God that healed me. I believe that. I do. And I mean, that's okay to clap because right now, I mean, my doctor told me, she said, you don't have kidney disease anymore. Why? Why is that? What's the explanation to it? I got a Savior. I've got a healer. And for whatever reason, He healed me. I don't deserve it, but He did. It wasn't the medicine that did it. It was Jesus that did it.
Amen.
I give Him the glory for that. I give Him the glory for that. And that's why it says, whether it be... I don't want to miss my spot here. Whether it be sword, whether no matter what, whether it be death, no matter what I'm facing, remember that Jesus... Remember that name. Remember that name. That name Jesus that's written right here in your sanctuary. He goes on verse 10. He says, but now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir whose territories you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possessions you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, when we're facing stuff, there's a lot of times we don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do. But Jehoshaphat knew that and he said, my eyes are on you, the one who can do. My prayers are with the one that can. And he said, and this is what I'm doing, Lord. My eyes are on you through all this. My eyes are on you. No matter what happens, my eyes are on you because I know you're a mighty God and you'll see us through no matter what.
Amen.
And I love this. Here again it says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Amen. Again,
amen.
It's wonderful when a body comes together in one accord. Remember on the day of Pentecost? Remember on that day when everybody came together and they were in one accord, they were all in the upper room and they were all thinking alike, focusing on one thing, and what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came. The Shekinah glory came. The glory that manifested itself, that shone itself. And listen to this, what happens right here in verse 14. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jezreel. Now think about that. Every time the body of Christ comes together in one accord, every time we start seeking the Lord, every time we push back the plate, every time we get on our knees and remind God who He is, and then we let God know that who we need is Him, and that we praise Him and we thank Him, and when we start realizing that, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit shows up. Amen?
Amen.
Every time. Every time the people get together and start seeking the Lord, guess what happens? God shows up. Every time you read your Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll see that. And he said, this is what he said, listen to this. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what happens in your life, remember that, the battle is not yours. We don't fight. We don't have to because we've got a Lord, we've got a God that will go out and fight our battles for us. He says, I'll take care of this. Don't worry, the battle's not yours. Come on now. Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
It says, tomorrow march down against them, and they will be climbing up by the pass. And he goes on. I'm going to skip over into let's see, where am I at? Verse 17, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I love that. Sometimes there's people that don't even want to get out of bed in the morning because they're afraid of what's going to happen the next day. Or to happen during their day. And I'm telling you, don't worry about that, because if you got Jesus in your heart, if you got Jesus living within, just don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, because He's with you. He said, don't be afraid. I'll be with you wherever you go. I'll fight your battles for you. No matter what happens. I love this. This is so good. Early in the morning, they left for the desert. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful. And after consulting with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for splendor of His holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. I love that. You know, we should be, and that's what I was saying earlier, we should be thankful. We should be praising Him. And in the King James, I believe it says that they praised Him with a loud voice. They praised Him with a loud voice. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord said, ambushes against the men of Ammon. Let me tell you something. When we start coming together and we start praising and we start worshiping the Lord, and you know what? He says, do it with a loud voice. Some of them did. He said, shout it out. Tell the Lord. Let Him know that you love Him. Let Him know that He's in control. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's why we sing the songs that we do. We're singing praises to the One who saves. We're singing praises to the One who delivers. We sing praises to the One who heals. Come on. Everybody's so quiet. I don't know, maybe I expect too much.
You expect too much.
I do. I want pew jumping. No. Here's the thing. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. I'm here to say, let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you may jump the pews. You may shout hallelujah. You may. Some may. Some may shout with a loud voice, and that's okay. Some people think that's nonsense, but I'm going to tell you what. It's scriptural. It's absolutely biblical. Prove me wrong. I challenge you, prove me wrong. Shout it. What I love about this, and as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set up ambushes. He took care of it all. He took care of it all. And he says, against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. And the Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy there's a bunch of names in here. To destroy that group of guys. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Can you imagine that? God made them kill each other. These guys from Judah didn't have to do anything because God made these other guys slay each other. That's how He works. He says, I'll take care of your enemies. You don't worry about that. I'll take care of them. I'm going to hurry up and get done here. You guys are probably tired of hearing me. Verse 24, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks that desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley where they praised the Lord. This is why. I just want to end with that. They entered Jerusalem, verse 28, they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. And the fear of the God, fear of God came all over the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies. But let me tell you something. When God does something, He said they had so much plunder, it took them days to collect it all. What does that have to do with us? Just remember of the glory that we fight for when we get to heaven. We exist in this world, and one of these days, He's got treasures laid up for us that we can't imagine. Amen? More than we can imagine if we just stay faithful and seek Him. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say with that. That's what I want to close with. Listen, we fight this fight here, and I know we do. We fight a battle every day, and sometimes it's all kinds of stuff. But don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Just know that God is a God that's in control, and Jesus is living within you. And wherever you go, He's with you, and He'll fight your battles for you. Amen? Amen. And that's what I want to say this morning. He will fight your battles for you. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and all this other stuff. Because it's Satan who works through people. It's not the people. Satan works through some people, and good people at times. He'll use you if you let Him. That's why we have to be so careful not to let Him. That's why. Man, we got to stay prayed up, man. Amen. I love you guys. I hope you got something out of this message this morning. Lord just led it to me this morning for you. I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you. I need encouragement myself. This just really encouraged me. It blessed me. Just even studying it, you know, even getting to preach it. That's even better. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. I encourage you to come tonight. I encourage you to come Wednesdays. Come to Bible study. Man, we've been having some great Bible studies. Come when you can. I praise you. Thank you, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to praise You right now, Lord. I know that You are the God who saved me, Lord. You are the God who healed me, Lord. I know that You're the God of my ancestors, Lord. And I just want to thank You, Lord. I want to praise Your holy name right now this morning, Lord. And when we leave this place, we don't leave You. You go with us wherever we go because You live within us. Your Spirit is with us wherever we go. We are Your tabernacle. Lord, we are Your sanctuary. Lord, just let Your Holy Spirit be in complete control of our lives, Lord. Just fill us to the overflowing. Lord God, let people see you in us, Lord. No matter where we go, let's say, you're a Nazarene. You're that guy. You're that person that goes to that church. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I just praise you. I thank you. Lord, no matter what happens, Lord, I just praise that you, I know that you're going to take care of us. Lord, we believe in that. We thank you. Let us leave here with joy in our hearts, knowing that you are in control. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.